Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is Christine DiDomenico and Simone Padour.
We're
part of Access Possibilities School. How are you doing today, Simone?
I'm a bit frazzled.
We were just chatting about Simone's day, which fits right into our topic today, which is my students are having a bad day. What do I do?
Yes. Yeah.
So Simone's students just better some information today for us to talk about. So how does it
they
get better
did.
Than that?
They did. And it's amazing to see what happens when people take a stance about what's happening. Like, I could see one kid today was like, she went away to get some Kleenex, and I think she was a little upset anyway because she wasn't really sure about the other kids, and the other kids were quite loud, and we had a few extras because they were coming to see if they wanted to be in the class. And then, so then she got upset because she, you know, wasn't sure what to do and what was going on. And then I was trying to, you know, talk to her because she was crying. And then the others were all noisy. And so I muted all of them. And I said, look, I need to talk to this kid. And it's not like a regular classroom where you can just take that kid aside and talk to them. You have to be, you know, when they're that age, they're just little. So their reading isn't that great. So you can't like do a private chat to them yet. So I was having to, you know, say, it's okay, you know, maybe a more quiet environment would be better. And then another kid got affronted because he didn't want to be quiet and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, wow, it's amazing how your point of view creates your reality. Because I hadn't told him he had to be quiet. I just said that maybe something else would suit her better. And I said, you wouldn't have to be there. And then, of course, he got upset because then he wasn't there. And just snowballs. And I was watching this go on, and I was like, have they read the title of the radio show today?
Oh, they're more psychic than we think.
Well, I think so.
Yeah. And so Simone was Skyping me about this, and my question to her was, what if there was nothing wrong with anything that showed up today in class?
Yeah, great question.
Yeah, and so often we'll go to the wrongness of the situation, the wrongness of especially us as a teacher, that all this blew up, and yet what if this was a contribution to all of the kids? And,
yeah.
And if we don't have a point of view about it, whether it's right or wrong, then we can be aware of where it may be a contribution to either one of the kids or all of the kids.
Well, I mean, and in that, even in that sort of insanity, I could see, number one, I got information. I learned that, you know, this kid that's trying it out, she actually needs a calmer, quieter environment. She doesn't deal well with all of this information. Maybe, you know, not yet. And, you know, boys tend to be at that age, and some girls too, obviously, tend to be really rambunctious and really like, let's go. And she was just like, whoa, this is way too much for me. So that was information that I garnered from that. So that was cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
And then this other kid, he was obviously in the back of his mind always worried that at some point we would try and squash him. And I was like, that's interesting. And at the end of the class, I said, look, like, I love the way you are. You know, I like the fact that you like to chat and you're boisterous and you're excited. I love that about you. And I said, and you know what? We really care about you. And I said it a few times, and you could sort of see it sink in, and then he was like, okay, I've got to go, because it was the end of the class anyway. And it gave me a lot of information. And as you say, if you don't go into the wrongness, which I have to admit I did a bit, because I was like, oh, my God, this was supposed to be fun. This was supposed to be introducing these new kids to, you know, maybe joining some of our classes. I was like, well, that was an absolute failure. You know, at one point, my thought pattern. But as you say, when you ask a question, then you can start to see all these pieces that, you know, maybe it is just information. And yeah, maybe it wasn't quote unquote fun. But you do always get something out of it if you're willing to ask a question.
Yeah, that's so important. And the situation was that the little girl is quite a bit younger than the other mm-hmm. kids too, correct? So,
yeah.
So, and that may or may not be a factor. We have kids who are, there's a big age difference, and one of our kids we moved up into middle school who's in fourth grade because he functions more like the kids in the seventh grade. So we moved him up. So it's not because she was younger.
Yeah.
And you were able to get that information that this would not be the best situation for her to be
yeah.
with this group of kids. And
yeah.
and the age may play a factor in it. It does sometimes and it doesn't all the time. So that's where what
yeah.
Sloan talked about with the question, asking a question, okay, so what information can I receive from this interaction? You know, what
yeah.
what's going on here? What do I need to know? And ask questions like that to create more awareness around the situation.
Well, I know, like, because the other little boy that came today to visit, he was the same age as her. And he came to visit in elementary English and in art. And he was fine. He was happier than a clam. And he, but, you know, there was also varying factors where both of his brothers were already in the class. So immediately he had that sort of support and comfort of knowing two people in the class, where she didn't know any of them. And at that age, I don't know why it is, but it is the way it is. Boys and girls don't mix as easily. They do when they get older, or maybe they still don't. I'm not really sure about that. But so, you know, there tends to be this sort of divide between boys and girls play. Not always, but it can happen that way. So it definitely was like that today. And it was, it gave me a lot of information.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And the other point you made about one of the kids having a point of view about that we might want to stop him at some time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very active kid. He loves to talk and share information and show us things. And we're always okay with that.
Yeah.
But somewhere there was, this, it seems, this point of view that that you're supposed to be quiet.
Yeah.
Or you're not supposed
yeah.
to be so loud or something. Is that what you got?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So,
you know, I went to substitute today in the school that I retired from. And
mm-hmm.
So it was interesting after a year away to go back
yeah.
in and just look at things from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that shows up at the end of the school year is their lack of motivation or, you know, just I guess the kids kind of need just to relax a little bit more, especially, you know, I'm a physical education teacher. So when they come to the gym, they kind of need to let loose after
yeah.
some possibly intensity in the classroom or having to really, you know, be on. They want to be off for a while.
Yeah.
So,
and sit still, too, like, for, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it used to be that we try to, you know, keep everybody on task and, you know, this was our unit and this is the activity that we're all doing. And what mm-hmm. the teachers did for these last few weeks is they're doing a games program, a unit in games, like summer type
mm-hmm.
games, and they had choices. They had choices
mm-hmm.
of four different activities, which worked out really beautifully because no
mm-hmm.
one was forced to play a certain game. They could have a choice, and then they could move to another
mm-hmm.
activity if they got tired of something. So we could judge that whole end of year behavior and
mm-hmm.
dread it, or we can
mm-hmm.
go with the follow the energy of the kids and where we know that they tend to be at that time of year. And it makes it so much easier.
Well, I've noticed, like, there's also an emotional thing. Like, things are changing. People are moving on. Like, some of our kids are moving on. You know, we have, there's new things coming in, and they know that there's something new coming in, but they don't know what it is. You know, and we don't necessarily know what it is. But there's change afoot. There always is this time of year. And they don't, you know, they're going to go for the summer, and, you know, what, there's sort of some uncertainty there, and then what will they come to in the fall as well, because it's always different. So there's a sort of this uncertainty that some kids deal really well with, and some kids don't like at all. And so it's interesting to look at that. I mean, a lot of what we've been doing is sort of a review, and my sense is exams at the end of the year, maybe when you're older are okay, and you've sort of, you know how to deal with that. But I almost get the sense that exams would be better off done, you know, a month before, 2 months before. So then the kids can just relax, you know, and, you know, do things like games and things like that, that, you know, they're still learning things. They're still learning about social interaction and such. And who says you can't have fun while you're learning? That's my point of view. But I noticed from my old school, like, they finished exams probably May, June, early June. And then they don't have anything till, you know, they finish, basically. And they just play and they swim and they do lessons and stuff like that. But it's more just sort of a breeze out and just some time with their friends before they have to go on, you know, into the summer or back home or wherever that is. And so that's what I've sort of been doing with our kids is, sure, there's a sort of sense of review and we're doing things, but I'm also looking at what they like to do and trying to format it so that it isn't a big drudge. It's more like, oh, okay, so this is actually all the things we accomplished this year. Okay, so what do we remember? What do we not remember? And it's all open book. It's all sort of, you know, fun-based. We've looked at, you know, Vlad the Impaler and Rasputin, you know, who would you take to dinner and why would you and why would you not? And doing simulations, so they're sort of reliving the history and just different things that are fun but still, you know, relate to what we've done.
Yeah, wow. It's just so fun to hear all the different activities and projects and putting them into those scenarios. I think that it just sounds so much fun. So yeah, it's really cool. And you talked about the moving on and the change, and what it brought up for me too is how we project so much and expect what's going to show up on a certain day or from a certain kid or for a certain time of year, and how our projections and expectations actually put energy into that, and that's what shows
up.
So, you know, there's a saying, your point of view creates your reality. And so how much of our point of view about kids is what creates what shows up, or you know, if it's a bad day or, you know, quote, bad day, or, you know, I mean, I listened to that today, the projections of, you know, certain kids that I heard about that I didn't know from the past, and and just the expectations of, you know, there's 2.5 more weeks and, you know, are we going to make it through this and all of that. So, but I think when we're willing to ask the questions and really look at what will work and not what we've decided we need to do. Because most of the teachers are done with their state testing anyway at this point in New York. And a couple of the grades have, like 7th and 8th grade, do have some exams. But for the most part, it is, you know, this final experience, which to me creates so much more ease at the end of the year. And even for us, we're thinking about what we have planned for next week and doing some virtual field trips and changing things up, which makes it much more fun and exciting too.
Yeah, Yeah. Yeah. To me, it could be a celebration. It could be like, wow, like, look at what we, where, how far we've come, and like, what an amazing year we've had. And you know, I'm so grateful for what we've done. And like, it could be such a different experience. And I know, I mean, I've sat in staff meetings and I've participated in the projections.
Oh, me too.
In the past, you know, and it really does create that reality. Cause I mean, I've gone into, you know, I start my teaching day and some days I'm like, I don't really want to do this today. I'd rather do something else. And instead of, you know, going down that path, which I would have done in the past without these tools, I'll often say to myself, okay, so what would it take for this to be fun? Or what would it take for this to be ease, joy, and glory? And that's one of my favorite tools. It's so simple. And that's just simply, all of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory. Now, the interesting thing is, when I first started using that, I thought that meant that everything had to be bright and sparkly and full of fairy dust and unicorns. But really, it means that even, you know, if somebody you care about dies, or if, you know, your car gets a ticket, or, you know, a check bounces, or any of those things that we don't really enjoy, it means that those things happen with ease. So I had a lady I know that her mother died, and she just kept saying that over and over again. And she said, it was really weird. The funeral arrangements just came together, and I was able to sort the house, and we were able to sell it. And she said, you know, sure, it wasn't like rah, rah, yay, this is fun in the sense of, you know, what we maybe enjoy. But she said it wasn't a hardship. It just happened with ease.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite tools too, because I've seen magic show up with that. And the thing is, you don't even have to say it out loud.
Nope.
I've used kids, and I remember talking to one of the teacher assistants who would come to my class with a child with autism, and I said, okay, I'm just going to try something. And I started repeating in my head, kind of projecting it at him, like, all of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. All of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory. Because he would kind of get a little frantic in the gym with lots of noise. And and within, I would say, 30 seconds, he calmed down. You could physically see him calm down. And he sat down on the floor and started playing with some of the equipment. It was just amazing. And I've used it with my own son, which when I first started noticing that it had an effect on him, was I was using it for myself to kind of pull myself down when I felt myself like getting emotional inside. And what I realized was, yes, it was helping me, and I was feeling more calm, and it also affected him, and it had pulled him off, you know, his point of view and his attack of what was happening at the time. So I highly recommend that tool. Magical.
I know I've had a situation where I was working in a school, and I had little kids who didn't speak English, and this little girl needed to go to the bathroom. It was my first week, and I had no idea where the bathroom was, and she wanted to go by herself, and we weren't allowed to let them go by themselves, and I just didn't know what to do because I couldn't leave the classroom because I had no assistant that day. And I had, you know, 20 little kids that were under the age of 6 in there. So I couldn't leave them alone. And so I just kept, and she just freaked out. She threw herself on the concrete outside the classroom and just started wailing and screaming in her language. And I was like, huh. And I just kept saying, all of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory. All of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory, because there was nothing else I could do. and it was amazing because one of the other people that helped out at the school, she said, you know, no problem, I'll take her. And she just took her, and the little girl knew her, and it wasn't a problem. And what amazed me is these 20 or 25 little kids that normally were crawling the walls if I so much as looked in the other direction
were calm and they were playing quietly. There wasn't any arguments. And I was like, whoa, this really works.
These tools do really work. They do really work. So don't use them, though. It might make your life easier.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Yeah. I love what you said before, too, Simone, about the end of the year being a celebration and looking at how far we've come. Because really, in this reality, it's about assessing and evaluating. And and in a way, it's looking how far we come. But there's such a different energy around that as compared to what you said of celebrating how far we've come. So I really love that piece.
Well, and it's interesting today because we have moved this young man up from, you know, elementary to middle school. And, I mean, there was a lot of things he could do, but there were some things that he was like, I don't really get that. And I looked at him and I said, you know, that's okay. Like, there are parts of this that didn't click for me, you know, for years. So I said, you know, just do the best you can. And you know, he is only 9, going on 10, in a grade 7 class. So, you know, he's just not there yet. And that's okay. And then there's other people who are, you know, older than him that aren't there yet. And that's okay, too. But just there's this intensity of, like, we must get all children at this level by this time. And, I mean, if you look out in nature, plants don't grow that way. know? Like, some of them stay small for a long time and then shoot up. Some of them stay small all the time, and they're happy that way. And it doesn't mean that they're of lesser value. It just means that they're going to be different and they might go a different route. I know here in England, there's a big thing on with apprenticeships where people are going out and learning that way rather than going to university, or maybe they're doing both. And there really isn't a lot of room yet out there for that kind of thing. I heard of a man who, he's now a TV presenter, rather dishy TV presenter, call handsome in England, dishy, one of the words. And he was, from what I understand, quite dyslexic and couldn't go the usual route. And so he did an apprenticeship at an architectural firm, and that's how he learned. And now he's, you know, done very well for himself, but he had to take a different route. And I wonder, what would it take for us to recognize that it doesn't have to be, you know, linear through school, then college, then university, or however that looks. Like, what if it is that you take a year off, or what if it is that you, you know, stay in a grade a bit longer in some subjects, but can, you know, rocket ahead in others, you know, like, what would it take to have more flexibility?
Yeah, that would be really nice. That would be, I get that it would be very honoring to kids if we functioned more like that. So, yeah. We don't have a whole lot of time, but I did want to talk about when students are having a bad day and how that, well, I guess we did talk about this, how it gives you information. So if kids' behavior on a particular day is off and, you know, they're acting up, as we call it, or just behaving or whatever, you know, how we look at it in this reality, that it's really, if a kid's behavior is always giving us information. So if we look at each kid and start to use those questions of what's going on here, then we can start looking at how we can change it. So it's not just about the whole class, but each individual kid and their behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's usually something that's going on for them, and it might be something at home. It might be something with their social group. And if you ask a question, then you're more likely to find out what that is. Again, that all of life comes to me with ease, joy, and glory has changed things for me when, you know, I'm having a bad day or kids are having a bad day around me, and I just say it in my head. Mm-hmm. And then it just seems to smooth over. I mean, one of my favorite examples, I guess because it was so dramatic, mm-hmm. is that I had a day where, well, actually it was a week. And I just kept using the tools because after that first week at this new school and I was teaching all primary, which it's not my strong point. Like it's, I give me surly teenagers any day. and so I was working and I mean, I still loved the kids and I enjoyed my job, but it was just, it was really hard. They were speaking a different language. I did very little way of communicating. And they were really loud. Like, I've never had to yell in a classroom until I was there. And the, after the first week, I just wanted to quit. Like, I was done. But because of the tools, things just got so much easier. And by the end of the year, they were eating out of the palm of my hand. So, yeah.
You're magical, Simone. Magical.
Only me, though. No one else can do it.
No, no one else can do it. Just you. but seriously, I have seen, you know, I watch you interact with kids, and I see you use the tools all the time and always be in the question when we have conversations. And it really does change things, really quickly.
It does.
Not it doesn't take a lot of time. You know, it might take a few days sometimes, but it does change quickly.
Yeah.
And it changes, you know, behavior changes and their capacity to pick up information and learn and function in the classroom changes so dramatically.
Yeah. And one
so
thing I just wanted to mention.
Magic.
Thank you, Christy. Mm-hmm. I'm so ADD, before you finished your sentence, I was like, oh, there's this idea, this idea, this idea. So, yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, so also willing to be whatever energy, space, and consciousness is required. And some people who are first listening to this program might be like, what the heck is she talking about? But it's like when you're working with an animal. And let's say you've got your dog for, you know, dog obedience or whatever. And if you're not willing to be the alpha dog and say, oi, like, this isn't okay. What you're doing right now, this doesn't work for me. And it probably doesn't work for the rest of the class either if it's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And being willing to be that energy, that demand of this has got to change or this has got to stop. I've had to use, you know, in my classroom throughout my teaching career, and I never really knew what it was. Some people call it, you know, the teacher look or the teacher voice or whatever, but it's that, hey, no, stop. Yeah. Do you want to say
something? And the difference that I see in the way it can be and create mm-hmm. the change is that can come with judgment. And it also can come without judgment. And and when it comes without judgment, you can be that alpha dog without judgment in that too. And it's amazing the difference in what shows up.
Well, and
it's
I remember,
you know, it's,
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. That's all right, go ahead.
I remember Gary saying something like that. He says, I'm never angry, but I'm willing to be whatever energy is required. And I've watched him going from full, like, roar, because that's what was required at the time. And a moment later, he's chuckling and laughing, and his body's totally relaxed. There's not that intensity that you get when you're angry and there's that judgment behind it. You can just, it's on and off. It's like a switch.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother day's radio topic. Yes. And we're running out of time right now. But next week's topic is kids who don't listen. and I was kind of already there. I started writing notes for myself before this show because I was already there. So anyway, how to meet the needs of all your students. And also just want to mention that we have lots of things going on at Access Possibility School. We have full-time enrollment and part-time enrollment already started for our fall program, our K through 8 program, and we have a whole group of summer adventure programs going on. Learning English for non-English speakers. We have conscious cooking. We have discovering the entrepreneur in you, and that's for kids. We have a ukulele class. We have Spanish classes going on, and we have some wonderful book clubs that Simone is going to be facilitating for the summer.
Yep. You want
to say anything about those?
Sure. And I also have Travel Back in Time with Art, which is learning art history as well as doing art history. I've always thought that to better understand art history, you should know how it was made. So we're doing all kinds of fun, like modern sculptures with Miro and Calder and all of those things. And so I'm really excited about that. And the book club, there we go. I can speak. The book clubs I'm really excited about too, primarily because I love to read, but also introducing kids with different activities or kids to different activities with reading so that reading becomes a magical experience for them too.
Cool. And we also have some project-based classes, building bridges and breaking them, and magic with minerals and fun with wind turbines. So all of those are listed under our summer program at accesspossibilityschool.com.
Yep.
Anything else, Simone?
We have a newsletter. If you would like to sign up for the newsletter and find out more of what we do, it goes out weekly, and there's little gems in each one, tools, articles, all kinds of things.
And we also have an open house, an online open house on July 16th, and also a new program we have called Friends of APS. And all of this is on our website. So if you just go to our homepage, you'll see buttons for that and lots of information on our website.
Yep.
So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks,
Bye,
Christine.
Simone.
Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.